Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our play-by-play call today, the game winner last night in the All-Star Game.
Swing and a drive, well struck. Right field, on its way, out of here. Into the bullpen in right field. And Robinson Cano will trot around the bases. AL2, NL1, here top 10.
And that was the final. John Schaube with the call on ESPN Radio last night as the American League beat the National League 2-1, the fifth straight win for the American League. And I think they've won something like, 14 of the last 18, 13 of the last 17, something like that along the way. Not a great day for the favorites at Wimbledon. In the quarterfinals, Sam Querrey of the United States knocked off the number one seed, Andy Murray. And Novak Djokovic had to retire today. Got to the second set, he had to pull out with an injury. And Roger Federer did win. But you had Nadal out, you got Murray out, you got Djokovic out. And then there's Federer. Still there. Amazing.
12th Wimbledon semifinal, the oldest man to reach the semi since 1974.
And he might win it.
That's true. Beloved there, too.
Oh, he is beloved there. They do. But this is how slow today is, ranking the biggest moves of the NBA offseason. Report, Knicks and Rockets working on 14 trade involving Carmelo Anthony. Now, Forbes did come out with their franchises and what is the most valuable franchise. I'll let you guess. This is in the world. Most valuable franchises in the world. What's the most valuable franchise right now in the world?
A sports team franchise. I will say...
Yes.
I'll say Manchester United.
In top five, but not number one.
Okay. I wonder if I should stay Premier League. Tottenham Hotspur now has a deal with the NFL because there's going to be some NFL games at their new stadium after it's built. So, but I'm not sure if Hotspur would be top five.
No, they are not. They're okay. Not even in the top 50.
Okay.
All right.
Dallas Cowboys.
So they are number one.
Okay.
The Dallas Cowboys are number one. The Yankees were fourth a year ago. Now they are number two, the Yankees are. 29 of the 32 NFL teams are in the top 50. This is the one that will surprise you. The one that will surprise you is that the Jacksonville Jaguars are not one of the three out. They're actually 42. It is the Detroit Lions. Who are the three that are out? The Detroit Lions, the Buffalo Bills, and let's see, what's the other one? Trying to remember what the other one was. Well, here we go. So the Cowboys are one overall. most valuable team. But you'll notice big markets are, it's where the money is. So here are the, according to Forbes, unbelievably quoted on this show, but here is the list. Cowboys are number one. With everything they're able to do, they are number one. $4 billion, up 25% in a year. Number two is Real Madrid. They're up 12% in a year to $3.65 billion. The Cowboys are worth $4 billion. Wait a minute, I want to check this. This isn't quite right. This is not quite right. Because I know the Yankees are two. Let's see here. And it's amazing that the Cowboys have done what they've done. They had a $270 million operating profit during the 2014 season. They made $75 million more than they did than any other NFL team. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, it's really amazing what they've done. And remember, too, there's one other element that falls into this. And that is, remember that the Cowboys have their own merchandising deal separate from the rest of the league. That's amazing. I mean, that's amazing. They have their own separate merchandising deal. Now, in the top five, the Yankees are second. The Cowboys are worth an estimated $4.2 billion a year with an annual operating income of $300 million. The Yankees are second. All right, here we go. I've got the right one now. There we go. The Yankees are second on here. And they were actually fourth a year ago, and they moved up to number two. And with the relocations of the Rams, Chargers, and Raiders, guess what? They increased as well. In fact, the Rams, in terms of value, increased 100%. Dallas went up 5% to $4.2 billion this year. The Yankees are second in this. At $3.7 billion, their value, they're now up 9%. Number three, your guys at Manchester United, $3.69 billion, up 11% in a year. Barcelona is then fourth. $3.64 billion is their value, up 2% from last year. Real Madrid, which, by the way, will take on the MLS All-Stars on August 2nd in Chicago. $3.58 billion. They actually fell back 2% in a year. The New England Patriots are sixth. They're worth $3.4 billion, up 6% from last year. The New York Knicks are the seventh most valuable franchise at $3.3 billion. And yes, the Knicks increased in value by 10%. The New York Giants are eighth. Worth $3.1 billion, up 11%. Number nine, the San Francisco 49ers. Their value is now $3 billion. They're up 11% from the year before in terms of value. The Lakers are tied with them for ninth at $3 billion. up 11%. You see, winning doesn't have a lot to do with this. The Redskins are 11th. 11th most valuable franchise in the world. $2.95 billion, up 4% in a year. The Rams are now at number 12. The value of the Rams is now $2.9 billion. Their value has increased 100% in a year. To let you know that winning doesn't mean much to this list, the New York Jets are 13th at $2.75 billion. They're actually up 6% in a year. The second baseball team appears on the list behind the Yankees. That would be the Los Angeles Dodgers at 13. $2.75 billion. The Dodgers' value has increased 10% in a year. Back to soccer. Bayern Munich, 15th most valuable franchise in the world at $2.71 billion is their value, up 1%. So what we're seeing is that the soccer ones are not going up a lot, but they're still extremely healthy. The Chicago Bears are 16th, value now $2.7 billion, and they're up 10% in the past year. So they're at the number 16 spot, tied with the Boston Red Sox, who are also at $2.7 billion. And the Red Sox have gone up 17% in value in a year. The Chicago Cubs are right behind the Red Sox. They're at 18 at $2.68 billion. The value of the Cubs has gone up 22% in a year. The San Francisco Giants are right there. At number 19, $2.65 billion. They've gone up 18% in 1 year. The Houston Texans are the 20th most valuable franchise in the world. $2.6 billion their value. They've gone up 4% in a year. The Golden State Warriors, the NBA champions, at $2.6 billion, up 37% in value in a year. The Philadelphia Eagles are the 22nd most valuable franchise in sports. $2.5 billion, up 4%. The Chicago Bulls, worth $2.5 billion, up 9%. At 24, the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are worth $2.4 billion. They're up 24% in a year. The Miami Dolphins are 25, $2.38 billion in value. They're up 28% in a year. Remember, they redid that stadium down there. The Green Bay Packers are up 21% from the year before. The Packers are at 26 in the world, and their value $2.35 billion. The Baltimore Ravens are considered to be more valuable than the Pittsburgh Steelers. $2.3 billion, up 19% in a year, which then brings us to the Steelers. The value of the Steelers, $2.25 billion. They're ranked 28th, and they're up 18% in 1 year. All right, next on the list, the Seattle Seahawks, up 19% in 1 year, and the Seahawks are now at $2.23 billion. They're at 29. The Minnesota Vikings are 30th, worth $2.2 billion. Brand new stadium. Their value is now up 38%. The Boston Celtics are tied with the Vikings at $2.2 billion. The Celtics have been able to increase in value by 5% in a year. Since those two are tied at 30th, we get to 32 in the Indianapolis Colts. Value up 16% in 1 year. $2.18 billion is the number. The Atlanta Falcons, up 27%. Falcons' value is $2.13 billion, but remember, they have a new stadium coming this year, and it's a beauty, and something tells me the value of that franchise is about to go up. The Raiders are still in Oakland, so this does not include certain elements, but their value, the Raiders' value as a franchise, up 47% in a year. They're up to $2.1 billion. They're now 34th. Manchester City from the Premier League, is sitting at $2.083 billion in value. They're up 8% from the year before. At 36, the Los Angeles Chargers. They're up 36% from last year. They're at $2.08 billion. The Carolina Panthers are 37th. Their value is $2.075 billion. They've gone up in value 33% in 1 year. Number 38, the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals are valued at $2.03 billion. They've gone up 31% in the year. They occupy the 38th spot. The 39th spot, the Tennessee Titans, up 34% in a year, and they are worth $2 billion. Okay. Then there's the L.A. Clippers. They're valued at $2 billion. They're tied for 39th, but they are also have not changed in value in a year. They were $2 billion last year, and they are $2 billion this year. Next at 39, the New York Mets. The New York Mets are 39 in the list at $2 billion, and the value of the Mets has actually gone up 21% in a year. Here's the biggest surprise of all. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 42. Their value is $1.95 billion, and the value of the Jags has gone up 32% in 1 year. Interesting. The Jacksonville Jaguars are actually more valuable than Arsenal, but they, according to Forbes, they are. Arsenal's right behind them at 43 at $1.93 billion. The value of Arsenal has actually gone down 4% in a year. That's two soccer teams that have gone down in value. Kansas City Chiefs are 44, $1.88 billion in their value. They've gone up 23% in a year. The Cleveland Browns are 45. Their value is $1.85 billion. They've gone up 23% in value in a year. Chelsea. Now, is that your team?
That is.
They are 46 in value. They've gone. Their value is $1.845 billion. And Chelsea, a very healthy change, up 11% from the year before.
Yeah, they're in the process of, they're going to remodel or rebuild their stadium. And they just switched their jerseys from Adidas to Nike. I think they're going to have Nike jerseys for probably the next 10 years.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 47, worth $1.8 billion, up 19% from the year before. The Brooklyn Nets, $1.8 billion for value, up 6% from the year before. The St. Louis Cardinals, $1.8 billion. And the St. Louis Cardinals in value are up 12% from the year before. And at number 50, the New Orleans Saints. And the Saints are up 16% from the year before. Value is $1.75 billion. And the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are tied with them for 50 at $1.75 billion. But the Angels are up 31% in value from the year before. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, when you sit there, you look at this. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers are not among the top 50. Let's see, the Bills, the Lions. Who's the other team that's missing there? There's one other NFL team that did not make the top 50. Bills, Lions, who else? I mean, Tennessee Titans made it, for goodness sakes. I'll have to think about that one as to who missed. Bills, Lions, who's the other one? But, I mean, and baseball, I mean, all the, I mean, the ones that you would expect would be there. The Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mets, the Angels, the Dodgers, the Cardinals. Well, when you got 50 of them, and 58% happen to be the NFL, it tells you something. All right, but no Cleveland Cavaliers. Most valuable NBA franchise, the Golden State Warriors. Remember, they're moving into a new arena in, 2 years in San Francisco. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, you're looking at relocations, new stadiums, fueling big increases in the value of NFL teams across the board. You have 29 NFL teams, 8 Major League Baseball teams, 7 NBA teams, 5 soccer clubs that make up this list. There are no NHL or NASCAR teams on the list. It just tells you where it is right now. All right, Tim Frazier, next half hour.
Four city blocks of new Ford trucks. Over 40,000 trucks sold. SMC is where you want to be.
Sunbury Motors Ford has over 110 new Ford trucks. And during July, they'll include a complimentary accessory package with the purchase of any new F-150. Through July 31st, receive a tonneau cover, molded splash guards, and window deflectors
at no additional charge. SMC is where you want to be
because they have the largest selection of new Ford trucks
in all of central Pennsylvania.
And that means the biggest savings.
Take up to $13,500 off on new F-150s. And SMC has them starting as low as $23,919. Save up to $7,000 on 2017 Ford Escapes. And they're slashed as low as $19,380. Explorers, Edges, and Expeditions have discounts up to $11,000.
SMC is where you want to be in July
for this mega summer spectacular sale and the complimentary F-150 accessory package. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
F-150 accessory package valued at $699. Excludes fire sales and ordered units.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I know it's hype, but the sports bozos of the day, Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather exchanging barbs. It is part of the hype, though. And yes, McGregor says he'll knock him out in 4 rounds. Mayweather fired back. So, it's all part of the hype and promotion that is the fight game. And look, you're going to get a lot of money. They're going to get a lot of money for this fight. Now, if you and I had asked the IRS to delay the tax bill a period of time until we, quote, had a big money fight available, what would they tell you and me? They tell us to come up with the money now. It's amazing when you have money and you can get high-powered attorneys that can... He told the IRS, oh, just wait till the McGregor fight. I'll get you your money. Really? Really?
Yeah, the day after the fight, that's the winner, the IRS right there. Doesn't matter who's going to win the fight.
I mean, really? I mean, if either one of us did that, or if Tim even did that, then look at him and go, what are you, excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît. Let's bring in Tim Frazier now of the Washington Wizards. And get Tim back on here in a second here. That's the amazing thing about it. If we did that, no way. No way. They'd look at us and say, forget that. We'd like to see the money today. Thank you very much. Yeah, but I'm fighting McGregor in August. I'll get you your cash. Isn't somebody at the IRS saying, didn't you get $220 million for Pacquiao? And you couldn't come up with the money from that? But, hey, they let him. Yeah. You were to get, what, Tim back here in a second, right?
Yep, we got him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Tim, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, I'm on. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, great to hear you again, Tim.
Always, man.
This is a business personified, which you and I have talked about before. Were you in the least bit surprised that you were moved and to the Washington Wizards?
Completely surprised. Had no idea. But, you know, as we've talked about, you know, it's a business and, you know, GMs make, you know, moves all the time. You know, they got to do what's best, what they believe is best for the team or what's the best for the player. And, you know, I think it's a win-win for both sides. You know, I'm excited and I'm moving back east. I'm excited to get up to Washington and start the next page in my book.
And not only that, stylistically, we know how John Wall likes to play. He plays a speed game. You play a speed game. Are you comfortable with that kind of fit, you know, with Bradley Beal, Wall, and then, of course, yourself?
Yeah, I think it'll be great. I think it's a good fit as far as how they like to play. You know, obviously, John is one of the fastest point guards in the game. And I think that it'll be great for me to be able to learn and continue to grow my game behind another, you know, all-star point guard. You know, I mean, I don't know how many people can say that throughout their years and their first couple of years in the league that they've been around behind all-star point guards, all-star center, you know, and had all those on their team. These are top, you know, 10, 15 players in the league, and I get to learn from them all. So, but as far as Washington goes, I think it's a great fit for, you know, my style of play and how they like to play.
Between the Celtics, then the Sixers, Portland, New Orleans, what have you learned at each stop that you think has helped you?
I think the biggest thing is to be able to know your role on that team and try to master it. I think that's the biggest thing because, like I said, those five teams, those four teams so far, I've had a different role on every single one of them. And I think that's what, you know, it's made me the player I am today is being able to adapt, be able to change in new roles and be able to, you know, help the team as much as possible. And I think that's going to help me in a long way. And I've always believed in that, to be able to be able to change my role. I'll even look back at Penn State. You know, I was my first two years there was to basically get the ball to Taylor Battle as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then, you know, those five seniors leave, and then I got to step in and become a different player. And it's helped and worked out for me.
In reality, was it really 2 years before you felt 100% after the Achilles at Penn State?
Definitely was. It definitely was after my fifth year. You know, I think once I got into the D League, that's when I really started to feel, you know, back to myself as far as explosiveness, speed-wise, and kind of just getting over the fact that it happened. You know, after that time, it had been 2 years. And, you know, it's a major injury, serious injury. And, you know, a lot of people, it takes a while to come back, but I was able to do it. It took some time, but I think that it kind of benefited my road into making the NBA and to get in the NBA because I had to go through that adversity, went through a different path, and it worked out.
It's obvious you can compete on this level because people keep wanting you to be at that level. So that's an important part. But you've had a chance to play against and around some really good players. You were on the same team with Damian Lillard. In Portland, maybe people back east don't know as much about him. What made him special, and what was it like for you to learn from him?
Man, we built a bond and a friendship beyond others, and it's been great. I was able to get there. I always tell the story when I got there, and I got into the locker room. Obviously, I'm excited. I'm like, I'm in the NBA again. I'm in the locker room. He was in the locker room, just got done working out. And, you know, obviously, I've heard of him, all-star point guard. He's done this 20-plus games, game winner against Houston. In the playoffs, I know being from Houston, and I kind of just asked him. I was like, "Hey, man, I'm not gonna get in your way. I just want to follow you and follow your footsteps." You know, obviously, you're on your guard and a place that where I want to be. And he said, "If I can keep up, then you know, all for it." So we end up building this bond, working out together, and I've learned a tremendous amount about him. And we still spend all, like, since I've left Portland, we still spend a lot of summers together. I'm actually going up to see him. His birthday's coming up this weekend, so I'm leaving to go up there back to Portland this weekend.
You obviously also had the opportunity to play with Anthony Davis down in New Orleans. And I think a lot of people may not realize his story. He was a 6'1", 6'2 point guard in Chicago and then, boom, had a growth spurt. And he took some of those point guard skills with him as the growth spurt happened. What's it like playing around a guy like that? And what skills does he bring to the table that are just completely different than other players?
you mentioned it. He's basically a guard in a center's body. And the moves he makes, the floaters, you know, he's able to put it on the floor, shoot pick and pop threes. And like I said, that was my first glance, you know, last year, being able to start those first, what was it, 9-10 games. And the first three games, he had 50-40-40. And, you know, to see that at first hand, it was pretty awesome to me to see that he's a tough, tenacious player, a family guy, works hard, is in the gym all the time. And, you know, I was able to build a bond with him as well and spend some time with him, and I think it's worked out and benefited me just trying to take, you know, obviously, like I said, he's a big and large body, so he has moves that I was trying to emulate and take from him. You know, we were doing the same. He was trying to take some things from me, and, you know, we spent some time together and benefited both our games.
Tim, it's something that you and I talked off the air about, but I'm going to talk about it on the air, and that's the grind of this season. When did it really hit you as a player about what a grind the schedule of the NBA happens to be?
I tell you, like I told you off the air, those first couple games, you know, I was starting playing, you know, major minutes because of, you know, the absence of Jrue Holiday. He had to take care of his family issue. But you know, I'm 30 minutes back to back a couple games. And I remember texting those guys, texting Dame, and talking to AD. I'm like, man, I don't know how y'all do this for 82 games. You know, I'm exhausted and playing all these minutes going. And then, you know, obviously the West is stacked, so I was going against guards, you know, every other night. But you know, like you said, you get used to it. Your body gets used to it. I was able to get accustomed to it and end up working out. You know, and obviously it's a grind, but you love the game. You play the game because you love it, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I mean, you would hit to like the second or third week of December, and you played 30 games like a college season. You still had 50 right. to go.
Still have 50 to go, and you still have at least 6 or 7 more back-to-backs. And I look back, and as much as you can say I'm tired and this is a grind, you look back and say, man, we have the best jobs in the world.
Yeah.
You know, we get to play on national TV, play in front of your family, get to travel to all different cities, and you get treated like, you know, like royalty. It's really, truly, I'm truly blessed. And I wouldn't, like I said, I keep saying I wouldn't trade it for the world, regardless of the grind, regardless of the injuries, going through the D League, you know, sitting out, being traded, all that is just all part of, you know, my book and my plan and my book of my life, and it's been great. You know what I mean? I can't complain not one bit about it.
Now that you have a complete understanding of it, because you've been through it and it's been now years of doing it, how do you treat the off season to make sure that you have a balance in life, but also at the same time that your body will be ready for the next grind?
I think what benefited me the most was spending those summers with Dame, and spending, you know, obviously last summer being in New Orleans, spending that with AD, and you watch those guys, how they train, how much time they take off, how they handle things. And I think I just tried to emulate and how I worked out. Obviously, I'm in a different spot, and I'll probably work out longer and more than they have because of, you know, obviously the wear and tear they have on their body. So they've been doing it for 4 or 5 years. But, you know, I try to emulate and try to go the same way as I do. When they start, you know, I want to already be started, go the same way. And I think it's helped me out just being around great guys with, you know, have great foundations and know exactly what they need to do. Yeah. So I think I just had that, just leadership. You know, you follow guys that are in positions that you want to achieve, and it's helped me.
For those who may not realize, Scott Brooks is the head coach with the Washington Wizards. Have you had a chance to talk with Scott at all?
Yeah. Obviously, when the trade happened, he was one of the first people to call me, and we had a good talk on the phone for a couple minutes. And then, I went out to D.C. for 2 days. I was still able to talk to him then. And I'm out in summer league now working out with the coaches, and he's been out here obviously watching the younger guys play. So we've had many conversations every day, just kind of talking and getting to know each other.
And along the way, have you two talked about roles along the way where he thinks you fit in this thing?
He just talked to me. He's like, we'll figure out roles, and like you said, everybody has their own role. But for right now, we've just been trying to get to build a relationship, and I think that's going to build the roles and what's going to ask later on down the road when you have a bond and a relationship with your coach and your teammates. It'll work out. You know, obviously they want me to, you know, do what I've grown to be able to do in the league is, you know, lead teams, not turn the ball over, make shots when it's when happening, push the ball, and just be a pest on defense.
How did Penn State set you up for all of this?
The adversity. Like I mentioned, the first 2 years and, you know, and the adversity and being able to change roles. Over the first 2 years, my role was different. That junior year, my role was completely different. Senior year, you go through tearing the Achilles, and not to mention changing coaches after that junior year. And I think it's all prepared me. They're doing a tremendous job. Coach Chambers and those guys are doing as well as Coach Chellis did when I was there. They built me and prepared me for what I was going to have to go through. And it's helped. And, you know, and obviously you go through these different things. You can obviously, when I was in the D-League, I could always say, man, I'm just going to go overseas and make money, or, man, it's too tough. I'm going to go get a regular job. And, you know, I'll finish with 2 degrees, man. I can easily go do that. But for the love of the game and adversity and the drive that I have to achieve this dream, it's paid off.
Tim, always a pleasure, always a privilege. It's great to hear you on the other end, and great to see you with the Washington Wizards. Thanks a lot for the time. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. I'll see you soon.
All right. Look forward to it.
All righty.
Tim Frazier of the Washington Wizards. We'll come back and wrap up today's show in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Great to be with you. Our thanks to Tim Frazier. We'll reschedule Tony Knapp, by the way. That won't be too difficult. And then we'll go from there. We're working on some other guests as well. Looks like John Bacon may be in that Monday area. I'll just have to wrap up one or two more text messages, and we'll get that done. Paul Alexander, by the way, this week as well. And we'll talk with him about what's going on with the Steelers. We'll talk about what's going on with the Pirates and a few other items with Paul as well. That'll be, I think we have Paul on Friday, I think. That's what it looks like. And so that's what we have coming up guest-wise. Not bad. Not bad at all. And we'll slip in a couple of others here along the way. Now, the Central Pennsylvania Festival of the Arts had Children's Day today. And in Phillipsburg, they have Heritage Days. That's going on. And the People's Choice Festival begins tomorrow. And so it is Arts Festival time, which leads in, by the way, to the Lift for Life, which will be at Haluba Hall Saturday beginning at 11. I'm sure they'll get some idiot to MC it. What? So that's this weekend. Sean, I don't know yet. I've got to decide whether to go and check out the art here in State College. I mean, I realize it's a square peg round hole thing. I mean, me around art. I mean, someone whose motto is stick figures are art too. I mean, I just don't think, you know.
Yeah, art wasn't my forte in school. I would try to try to call in sick on those days. Yeah.
Brutal.
I know. Although I have been over to People's Choice over in Bowlesburg several times. Loved it over there.
Well, the food's good, I'll tell you that.
Oh, the food, the barbecue is amazing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, the food's really good.
Yes, sir.
So we've got that. I mean, looking for the ultimate, the dogs smoking cigars while playing poker. I'm telling you, the bulldog cheats. Or playing billiards. I'm not going to sit there and be that picky. If there's an extra, should I get one for you?
Sure.
Kind of an advanced Christmas gift. I could see Deb now.
Man cave. That'll be there.
I can see Deb now. Right. One word.
She'd be really? Like, wait, really? She'd be like, I didn't order really? This from Wayfair. What? What?
Really? Really? And as I said to one artist a couple of years ago, I said, excuse me. I said, but you know, I saw this at a speedway in Indiana. I mean, what? Well, that's gas station art. Like, yeah. At least when I look at it, I can look at it and say, I know what it is.
It's got its own je ne sais quoi. Come on.
Yeah. Sure it does.
Right.
Hey, don't you want to look at it something and know what it is? This is abstract. You're right. I'm going to the next booth.
I've tilted my head enough. I'm moving on.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. I don't even give it that much time. You're a barbarian. Thank you. You're a barbarian. But
yes, I will admit, I've not been downtown for Arts Fest. And I remember my mom and I and her folks, we would go up there. When I was in elementary school, we went up there quite a bit.
Oh, I mean, you know, I mean, it's a good walk. I mean, they have some great stuff. It brings in a lot of people.
Sure does.
Food's good. Weather's usually muggy. I'm trying to think. What is today? Oh, muggy.
So, yeah, lately, the last few years, we've gone over to People's Choice and got some friends of ours that live in Pleasant Gap, and they found a little premier parking spot where we don't have too far to walk, so it works out perfect for us. Love it.
So you're the one that took it.
Sorry. Remind me to get you the code word.
Darn you. I mean, 2 years ago, this guy walked in and screamed out in front of the entire crowd, I'm the suit! Sales stopped.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.